AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The battle for the White House shaping up to be a tighter contest than ever, headed into the first presidential debate tomorrow night on ABC. It'll happen in Philadelphia. Here's ABC's Christiane Cordero on a new New York Times Siena poll.
A new poll shows a tight race. Trump at 48% among likely voters. Harris at 47%, well within the margin of error. But Trump's approval rating is higher than during his previous two campaigns. And the poll shows likely voters view Trump as closer to the political center than Harris. 47% say Harris is too liberal, but only 32% say Trump is too conservative.
Manhunt resuming in southeastern Kentucky for the man that's a suspect in a series of highway shootings along I-75 that have left at least five people wounded. Scorching temperatures in the southwest leading to fast-moving wildfires and thousands of evacuations in California and Nevada. This is ABC News. New accusations over the withdrawal from Afghanistan. House Republicans releasing a report accusing the White House of misleading the American people and failing to heed the advice from the Pentagon. And GOP Congressman Mike McCaul, chairman of the House Foreign Relations Committee, tells CBS's Face the Nation.
Foreign policy is at stake. What happened after Afghanistan impacted the world. Why? Because Putin responded by invading Ukraine 2 months after Afghanistan fell.
Connecticut Democratic Congressman Jim Himes, though, calls it nothing but partisan political politics.
It is going to be a nakedly partisan campaign thing.
Yeah, both members of Congress were speaking to CBS's Face the Nation. New Hampshire's governor to the rescue at a lobster roll eating contest. Governor Chris Sununu jumping on the stage when one of the contestants started choking. The governor performing the Heimlich maneuver. The man he saved, right back at it, went on eating seven more lobster rolls. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Prosecutors are pursuing a murder charge with a hate crime enhancer against an inmate to the Green Bay State Prison accused of killing his cellmate last week. Authorities say Jackson Vogel strangled Michael Laureano on August 27th and told deputies it was because Laureano was black and gay. Governor Evers opposes the idea of splitting UW-Madison from the rest of Wisconsin state universities. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
This idea of splitting up UW-Madison from all the other UW system schools seems to gain some momentum every once in a while.
Tell me why that's a good idea. I have no idea. I mean, we have a system. It works. It's underfunded, but it works.
A legislative committee is considering the plan. Any change to the UW system structure would require legislative approval. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers get set to head west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. After dropping two of three games to the Rockies and having won just twice in the past seven games, manager Pat Murphy said that the team is going through some growing pains.
They could be tired. They can be feeling it. They can be trying not to. You know, they can be trying too hard. You know, a lot of young players still in there. We had five. Most of our lineup are basically first-year guys.
Milwaukee will set out on a six-game road trip out west beginning tomorrow in San Francisco. They'll play Arizona this weekend. The Brewers are still 9 games up in the NL Central with 19 games to play. On Sunday, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. For the Packers, they will be without Jordan Love, who is expected to miss at least 3 weeks with an MCL sprain. Malik Willis, who the Packers traded for in the preseason, will start this week's game. The Athletic reports that Green Bay has reached out to free agent quarterback Ryan Tannehill as well. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. The wind out of the west at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Once again, high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane Matinere returns to the big chair, and we are talking about the election because we are less than 2 months away, people. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. And nice to have you here on this Monday morning, September 9th. Coming up this hour, Julie Lassa, the State Director for USDA Rural Development, will talk about some of the Wisconsin specifics in the Biden-Harris administration's many, many investments in the economy of rural America and rural Wisconsin. Along the way, you can join us at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text or use the Civic Media app. Brittany Merlot is off today, but she provided a very short, sweet, really sweet forecast today. Mostly sunny and warm, high statewide, anywhere from 78 to 82. So just either side of 80 degrees today with a west-southwest wind at 5 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Lows in the low to mid-50s, light southeasterly winds. Then for tomorrow, partly cloudy, a slight chance of spotty light showers in the northwestern half of the state. Mid-70s north to low 80s south with a south wind at 7 to 13 miles an hour. All I know is that finally, I've got the top down on the Jeep because I'm finally home at the same time that there's a spell of dry weather. We needed like one thing from the grocery store when we got home last night. I was like, you know, I could go get it tomorrow after the show. I'm like, nope, I'll go now. Any reason to put the top down and go for a ride and watch the sunset just to get, you know, some milk and bread or something from the grocery store. Perfect, perfect weather for it. Selena Heller is here, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Greg Bach, all along as well. Selena, did you have a good weekend?
Oh, yes. We went to, you know, the apple orchard, did the fall things already, got those started. So that was fun, along with, I think, half of the area was there.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. Yep. There's definitely that season. Kristen sometimes sticks around till 7, sometimes 7:20, sometimes 7:30. We're now told she's on a tight timer. She now has about 82 seconds left before she has to leave.
Yes.
So, Kristen, in that 80 seconds or so, Selena's going to tell us about OBGYN services. They're changing with the conditions. She's going to talk about a hospital in Baldwin that it has to step up after some hospitals in the Chippewa Valley closed. This is in keeping with what you've said about rural medicine in Wisconsin, especially in the OBGYN area.
Baldwin is a shining beacon of what medicine could be in rural areas. They've done incredible things. This is an independent hospital with visionary leadership, and I'm so excited to be connected with these folks that are doing this work. What we're seeing across the state, though, is that Wisconsin has lost over half of their rural obstetrical units in the last 20 years, and most obstetrical units are moving in a different direction. So, Selena, I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about Baldwin, but I'll be listening in the car.
Yes, because check with 19 seconds to spare, she got her answer, and I was afraid I was going to have to cut her off. Kristen, drive safe. Happy campaign trails, and we'll talk to you again really soon.
See you later.
All right.
Bye, Kristen.
Have a great day. 7-10 right now. The Brewers lost 2 out of 3 to the Colorado Rockies. Losing yesterday, what was that final score? Scroll up, Pat. There it is, 4-1. Freddy Peralta gave up 3 runs on 7 hits. He walked 2. He struck out 4. He missed a chance at his first 3-game winning streak this season. The team also transferred Christian Yelich to the 60-day injured list. The Brewers are off today, heading out west. They have 3 games in San Francisco and then 3 games in Arizona before coming back for a homestand that starts next Monday, starting against Philadelphia. So, Selena, getting back to the whole notion of obstetrical services, it's odd to me that Mayo ended its labor and delivery services in Menominee, which is just down the interstate from Baldwin. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you had HSHS closing Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls. And now here, this standalone hospital is trying to pick up the slack. I don't think we could have possibly predicted that kind of scenario, you know, say 2-3 years ago.
Oh my goodness, right. And this, it's just a small rural hospital. Western Wisconsin Health has a hospital in Roberts and in Baldwin. And the one in Baldwin was previously known as Baldwin Area Medical Center or Baldwin Area Hospital. And now they even changed their name because they have broadened so much in taking in everybody else from around the area to Western Wisconsin Health to reflect kind of the area that they help now.
Right. And so you talked to, is it the CEO of the hospital?
Yes, Ailey Peterson. And they have quite a kind of a view, a different view, like, we will take care of you no matter what. And they are helping all of these expectant mothers from around the area that have no place to go. And she talks about that and the number of people that they're seeing now from around the area, because they're taking in so many people that are just having to travel now for this healthcare. So here's Ailey Peterson, the CEO of Western Wisconsin Health.
You know, as we think about the Eau Claire area and patients who have been displaced by the closure of those hospitals, both in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, we've seen an increase of about 10% of our patient population coming from those areas. It's a bit easier for us to define in our obstetrical services, for example, where we've seen a pretty dramatic increase. Last year, we delivered 280 babies. This year, we're projecting 400 deliveries. And a significant percentage of that is coming from the Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area, where labor and delivery services are no longer being offered.
That's a lot of extra babies. Yeah. But they, you know, and keeping these units open is so expensive, and that's what all the other area hospitals are having problems with, because you have to have people around the clock, and it's just that's why they're closing. But they said, you know, we need to just kind of double down on this and be the provider here and not let people not have a place to go. So it was kind of a refreshing take to be there and to talk to her and to sit. I actually, you know, sat in one of those new delivery suites, and they have water births and just such a nice facility that they've been working on, just opened up just a couple months ago.
Okay. And what else did she have to say about, you know, the whole nature the whole of the system? Yeah, the whole problem.
It's a crisis, and that's what she talks about next.
You know, those are the concerning situations that keep me up at night, and I know they keep our community up at night. we have to do something about this. This is not acceptable to have more than half of our rural hospitals no longer delivering babies. We already have a real challenge in our country of high maternal mortality rates. Lack of access to quality obstetrical care is a driver of that. The time is now. We must have this be a wake-up call to all of us that rural obstetrical care, women's health, has to be made a priority.
I mean, you would think it sounds so obvious, and yet here we sit with, again, the amount of labor and delivery units across rural Wisconsin is so different than what it was, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And you've done the stories about couples who've had to drive longer distances and didn't make it, had to deliver a baby on the side of the road in the year 2024. But that's where we are right now.
That is where we are. And that's what I talked to Ailey about, all of these stories that I've done with all of these poor mothers that, you know, my friend in Durand, she had her baby at the side of the road because she would have normally gone to Menominee and that was close. So they would have had to drive further to Eau Claire and they didn't make it in the middle of the night. And then they didn't have cell phone reception. So it was hard to get anybody on the phone to tell them where they were and an ambulance, and they had to still stop and then go to meet an ambulance where they could tell the ambulance get reception. And it was just crazy scenarios. And Ailey said, yes, we're having more and more of this because so many people have to travel so far.
I would not have seen this coming. I mean, we've passed by the Baldwin Hospital, you know, over and over. In its old location, much less where it is down by the interstate now. Mm-hmm. And I know these folks will take it with the sense of humor intended, but, you know, on the side of the road, the road signs for hospitals, it's usually a capital H, a white H on a blue background. Mm-hmm. And we'd say, no, there are some towns where that really shouldn't be a capital H. It should be a lowercase H. And Baldwin definitely qualified as that, you know, back in the day, but it's now filled in the spot where there are other places. I think of Bloomer, for example, used to have its own thriving hospital, you know, pre-Mayo. And now, you know, it's more like a subscript H, if anything else. And hospitals are one of those things you'd think would stay stable, but it most certainly does not. And that's where, again, you've got this outfit in Baldwin that they're the ones who've been able to change with the times, I would imagine, with some help along the way.
Oh my goodness, they've had a lot of help. And that is right. They were downtown and they were kind of landlocked. They couldn't expand. And now they are expanded right by the interstate. And so you can see that beautiful facility right alongside the interstate. If you just have to drive past A&W and get to it. It's pretty cool. But they have all had a lot of help from the community to expand the surgical and obstetrics department. They have help from Quick Trip of all places. And then a big $1 million funding was from the federal government, championed by Tammy Baldwin. And it's in a more than $7 million project. So all these things were so good, but the hospital funded the rest.
I knew that there was a Tammy Baldwin note in there, but try on short notice to search your email, Tammy Baldwin, Baldwin Hospital. Yeah. It's going to return every Baldwin mention. So I've got 10,000 hits on Baldwin and Baldwin. So I was hoping you could fill in the blanks on that one.
And funny, she came to the hospital either for the groundbreaking or the groundbreaking last fall. And she made a kind of a funny joke about that being in Baldwin and, oh, this is my hospital or whatever. And yeah.
Hey, if you bring home enough bacon from DC, we can say it's named after you. Absolutely. Selena, thank you very much. Appreciate you filling us in on all of that. You go get Emery ready for school and we will talk to you next Monday.
All right. See you then.
All right. You can follow what Selena Heller is working on over at upnorthnewswi.com and on social media. Hey, Rob, I didn't forget you. Well, I did for a moment and I apologize. Rob tells us good morning from Tigerton, sunny and 55, relaxing weekend out in the woods. Cousins Doug and Tammy came over for a visit for a mowing job. Also notes Kristen is an excellent singer and that he misses Pat Summerall and John Madden doing football. We'll talk about Tom Brady next. You're up north.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This would be, the guy said, I have to sound as 60-year-old as possible. This would be Sexy Back from Justin Timberlake. Could I have sounded any more like a 6-year-old man introducing that song? Sexy Back from, thank you. Thank you very much. From Justin Timberlake's second solo album. It hit number one this day in 2006, where it would hang out for 7 weeks. And we were going to, it was a special request from Dr. Lyerly, who then had one of her sons say, no, we need to leave for school right now. So I hope she got to hear it in the car and be entertained. Yeah, I mentioned Tom Brady because he started his new gig over the weekend, and I didn't hear it, but reports are that it was rather underwhelming, that Fox Sports spent $375 million to put Tom Brady in the broadcast booth, and the network's trying to make everyone know that he's there. So he made his debut as an analyst during the Cowboys-Browns game. Was it Cowboys, yes, or Browns, or Rams?
Cowboys-Browns.
Okay. I see. Yes, I'm looking at two different things. One is a pregame. Yeah. So there was a Brady hype video leading into the pregame show, and it just didn't, I don't know if it worked for a lot of folks. I say that only because I would normally go, well, so what? I remember Tony Romo's first game, and it was like instant. People were like, wow, this guy really knows his stuff. This guy's, you know, kind of, He can explain it in plain English the way that was John Madden. When John Madden first came in the booth, people were like, wow, this guy, he's not just your dumb jock. And so you heard that about Madden. You heard that about Tony Romo. Tom Brady, I'm not hearing that so much.
Well, there's something that Romo, Madden, Elway,
Greg Olson.
The Cowboys quarterback, Troy Aikman.
Aikman, yeah.
And I'll even use Bob Uecker as an example as well. You can know the game from start to finish. I mean, I don't doubt that Tom Brady has a deep, deep understanding of that game. But you also have to have like a 3 to 4 out of 5 charm level too. You have to be able to talk to the audience. It can't just be like, well, they're going to take the ball down the field and they're going to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to run mm-hmm. the ball and they're going to kick the ball. You know, you have to have that it factor for television. And just because Tom Brady is Tom Brady doesn't make him someone you want to listen to talk about it in that sense.
No. And there have been plenty of examples previously where people went from the field to the booth and it just didn't work out. You know, the only difference here is that they weren't getting paid more than $300 million for this. And
what?
So I'm like, what did you base that on? What was it really just were you buying the name? Were you buying the Tom Brady name and that was going to bring more people in? Because, look, if they're not watching football already, Tom Brady's name is not necessarily going to do it. They're not watching football for a reason. You throwing out the name of a famous football player, it isn't going to work.
When you're spending that kind of money, which I mean, I don't know, it's for Fox, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fox and that affiliate of the network and whatnot, football, it might just be a drop in the bucket. I have no idea how much $300 million is to them, but there has to be some research that goes into it to know that Tom Brady isn't a guy who's been in like movies on TV shows and hosting SNL. Like, he's just not, he doesn't have a history of being like TV fun guy. So like,
no,
the I don't know. That's a lot of money.
It is. And he already had a lot at the time.
He's already doing great.
Which, you know, again, this, I'm painting with a broad brush here. But if you don't need the money, you don't really have the incentive to pour everything into it. And again, there are exceptions. There is apparently a woman in the U.S. Tennis Open who is the daughter of a billionaire.
Yes, Jess Pegula.
And is
Pegula.
You know, is doing great because she's putting in the work, even though she doesn't need the money. But that is the exception to the rule, I think, by and large. And so if Tom Brady gives you an effort that sounds like, I don't really need the money, but I'm doing this because I need something to do right now. Well, that's understandable.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Well, so her name is Jess Pegula. She's the daughter of the owners, the Pegulas, who own the Buffalo Bills. She just won the U.S. Open this weekend.
She won. Okay.
You do not win the U.S. Open or any Grand Slam just by like, hey, how's it going? No, her, like, the work that tennis players put in is a different level of like training, in my opinion, but that's a whole other conversation. Yeah. I just don't, because I don't like Patriot fans or Tampa Bay fans aren't gonna be like, well, I'll only watch games that Tom Brady is gonna talk about. That's not how it works. I don't get this move. I really, really do not.
No, nope. Again, that the reviews, it's one game. He could grow into it. You don't know. Comment from Dennis on Facebook. I was tuned in to you on the show, Doctor, while running to get coffee. So Dennis wanted to call in and say hi or write in on Facebook. Rob did as well, saying that Kristen is an excellent singer. Boy, I got to do to fish for compliments like this?
I was
like going to
say, man, Pat, how you do? My name is Greg Chop Liver here, and I'm just the guy making sure the whole thing goes off without a hitch, even though I didn't turn my mic off when someone called.
Yeah, that's okay. Look, we're over here trying to do a whole lot of different things, which includes going from the fun stuff to some of the news stuff. And I've been talking throughout the morning about Donald Trump appearing in Mosinee over the weekend. And we've got one more clip that I wanted to play that I think, again, gets to the heart of what his message has been. And it is, for lack of a better term, it's just a full-on racist mode of, if I can scare you enough about brown people and black people and people from China and whoever else, you're going to vote for me and my authoritarianism promises. Heather Cox Richardson, in her weekend column, put it this way: Trump went full-blown apocalyptic, attacking immigrants and claiming that crime, which in reality has dropped dramatically since Biden and Kamala Harris took office, after a spike during his own term, but claiming that crime has risen. And, I mean, to the point where he's telling the crowd in Mosinee they may be attacked right there in Mosinee by immigrants.
Pat, I didn't get that one.
Oh, you didn't? I thought I had that one.
We did not get that clip.
He says you're not... Okay, the verbatim was essentially, you're not safe anywhere from these people. You're not safe here. You could get attacked right here. I'm like, really?
What?
In Mosinee? It's just all about mass deportations. And he also said in an earlier speech late last week that things were going to get violent, that it was going to be bloody, rounding up all these undocumented immigrants. And then, of course, over the weekend, he pledged a new wave of arrests, and that would be of political opponents. So never have you had a candidate for president promising two different types of mass arrests, telling you they're going to be bloody, and at the same time, a former vice president from that party is now endorsing the candidate on the other ticket, which would be Dick Cheney. These are all massive developments in a presidential race. And yet, as I looked at the New York Times yesterday and again today, as they preview the debate, the New York Times headline is, "How the fight to define Kamala Harris will shape next week's debate. The battle over who Miss Harris is and what she stands for will take center stage on Tuesday." Oh, stop it. We know who Kamala Harris is. We've had 4 years to watch the Biden-Harris administration, and we know who Donald Trump is. Maybe talk about some of what he just said in Mo's and E, which should be far more troubling and worthy of your headlines. Back with more after this. You're up north.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Thousands of people from literally around the world capitalized on Wisconsin's beautiful weather over the weekend at the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. And we're going to find out more about one of the very rare and special breeds that was a focal point next.
All right, team, pay attention to this game film about Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. See here? When dairy farms grow Plenish soybeans for their cows,
they have lower overall feed costs.
Good eye, Jake.
And they maximize milk fat production,
so they increase the return on their investment.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. For lower feed costs and higher milk fat and dairy cows, what do we plant?
Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
Learn more at pioneer.com/happycows.
If the Leicester long wool breed is one you're not familiar with in Wisconsin, well, guess what? You're not alone. The breed itself held its first card grading event at the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival in Jefferson for the first time outside of the East Coast. And the event's pretty rare to begin with, happening only once every 10 years. Abby Breed chaired the event and explains why the Leicester long wools are so special.
The majority of the population is based around Colonial Williamsburg and on the East Coast. And when we ran some data with the Livestock Conservancy, we determined that 85% of our new members and flock growth was here in the Midwest region. So this is the growth edge for the breed. And with more hobbyists and smaller farms that want a sheep that can give you high quality wool and meat and dairy, it's truly a triple threat breed. It just made sense.
Abby Breed describing the Leicester long wools to us. Now, physically, the sheep look like they've got dreadlocks. Their fleece is shiny, very square, tabletop-type body. They also have a mild temper and mild-tasting meat.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
And this is a big time of the year for Wisconsin agritourism. Coming up on Wednesday, September 18th, they're hosting a special lunch and learn to help people better understand the ins and outs of being successful in Wisconsin agricultural tourism. It's co-hosted by the Wisconsin Farmers Union. You can find details at wisconsinfarmersunion.com/events. And that's just a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. The wind out of the west at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Once again, high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments.
Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. Greg Liana joins the show to tell us where we can see his indie film classic, and casting director Rex Sykes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
Well, the sky is finally open. The rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the same old storm again.
So we've got this big presidential debate happening tomorrow, and you can hear it here on Civic Media. Coverage beginning at 7:30 tomorrow, anchored by Terry Bell. We'll talk to him in about 15 minutes, as well as Todd Alba. You can listen across the Civic Media network for special coverage of the debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. A reminder, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, the premiere of the Dom Salvia Show. Your daily dose of what's happening in Wisconsin and the country. Plenty of insightful guests. Some of your favorite Civic Media voices joining Dom every weekday from 4 until 6. The Up North News Daily Newsletter is available bright and early every weekday morning, around 5 a.m. or so. And today's edition talks about growing giant pumpkins. Did you know that some of these babies grow 50 pounds a day? On their way to the, you know, one-ton level, they do. And there's a reason it works for some growers. Last year, Selena Heller talked to a grower in the Black River Falls area and did a video all about it. And we have that story in today's newsletter. You can sign up for that over at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner of our homepage. And we would love to have you along as a subscriber. We're going to be joined by Julie Lassa in just a moment or two. She's the state director for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Rural Development for Wisconsin. And it's a follow-up to what President Biden had to say and announce while he appeared a week ago in Westby, and making a multi-billion dollar investment in rural Wisconsin. And in doing so, $7 billion, about a half billion of that will be coming to Wisconsin for Dairyland Power to move more toward wind and solar sources of energy. And I'm just getting a note here from Julie Lassa, and I'm sending her a note about where to find the show. And then she's going to join us to talk more about what Dairyland is going to be able to do with the funds, so that, again, it's not just about, you know, wind and solar and replacing fossil fuels, but it's also about expanding broadband internet, and it's about, you know, the manufacturing jobs. It will be about the installation jobs that come with the Inflation Reduction Act. And frankly, the investments that are being made in these rural states they outnumber the investments being made in what you would call traditionally blue states. One of the other podcasts that I like to listen to occasionally is called Smartless. And I don't know if Greg is familiar with this one. It's Bateman. What's
Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes,
Jason
and Will
Bateman.
Arnett.
Thank you. I could not get Jason. They were actually joking about how he gets called Justin a lot, because his sister is Justine Bateman.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And so, but they had on a couple of months back, they had President Biden, they had former President Barack Obama, and former President Bill Clinton on. And this was all before Joe Biden got out of the race. But they talked about, and President Biden talked about, how the investments being made by the Inflation Reduction Act, more of them have gone to these red states than to blue states, because that's where the opportunity is.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, where the opportunity is needed the most is upgrading, you know, this electrical grid and, again, expanding broadband internet access. And it's just refreshing that you have a president that makes the investments where they're needed, not just in the places that, you know, where my supporters are.
Yeah.
You know, we have countries like that. We've had presidents like that. We potentially could have another president like that. And I'm glad we don't.
I'm glad we don't either. I'm glad it's always good to hear someone talking about them working for all the people, not just the ones who voted for them. But it is hilarious still to this day to watch politicians who voted against these things say, "We brought this money back to our state." I'm like, "You didn't do anything."
No, they vote against it. And yet some of them still have the audacity and they do get called out on it now, which I find, I guess I find it hilarious. And I've only seen it to a small extent in Wisconsin. But when it does happen, it's only right to call it out and to say, no, look, you can't, at least, let me put it this way. Ron Johnson almost never does this. Never, you know, tries to take credit because he's against all spending. You know, he's against anything that might be beneficial and create jobs. But other members of Congress, you know, not so much. And it just, again, comes back to the issue of who's actually working for you, not saying the things you want to hear, not making the, you know, the rhetoric or the insults or whatever that make you cheer, you know, but who's actually working for you. And that's really refreshing. And I shudder to think that we might be losing it.
I shudder. I get nervous. I get sick to my stomach. All the things are, because when I see the polls,
all the things,
like you see Kamala Harris and Tim Walz working so diligently, so hard to electrify audiences across the country, you know, 10, 15,000 person rallies. I mean, at the DNC between two locations, it was 40,000 people. And then like, it's neck and neck in the polls. I'm like, how planet?
Yeah. A planet with a whole lot of folks who have been listening to a, you know, a right-wing ecosystem that is just making things up and, again, working to just vilify people as best they can instead of actually doing the work. And so to have somebody doing the work is refreshing, especially when it comes from an old friend like Julie Lassa, who is with the USDA and is the state director for USDA Rural Development. And I think Julie's joining us now. Are you there, Julie?
Yes, after much trouble. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah,
I hear you. It's a Monday, so obviously there's going to be computer trouble. So it's just...
No, it's nice. It's nice to hear your voice. I had the same thing when I logged on this morning. And of course, right away it gets, oh yeah, we've logged you off of everything. So go find your passwords and get logged back in and everything else. So no, I fully understand. How are you otherwise?
I'm doing well, recovering from volunteering at the Ironman yesterday.
Oh,
my middle daughter. And that was the first time we've done that. And it was really interesting. So
did it motivate you? Are we going to be seeing you in it next year? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. No.
No. Okay.
The exercise that I get is taking my dogs out for a walk, hopefully twice a day.
Now, I thought maybe you were going to say you were worn out from, you know, getting set for a presidential, or, you know, doing everything that was necessary for a presidential visit, because I mean, that was right in your wheelhouse in terms of talking about rural development and all the investments that have been making. So
yes,
this has been an exciting time for you.
It was a lot of work and planning, and we have a wonderful team in rural development at the national office and the secretary's office who really worked, put in a lot of long hours with us to get that event pulled off, including with Dairyland Cooperative and Vernon Electric Cooperative. So
Right. Now, the rural electric cooperatives that were the focus of this announcement by the Biden-Harris administration, $7.3 billion in clean energy financing. What does that really mean at the individual rural cooperative level? What are the kinds of things that they're going to be able to do with this kind of investment that they may not have otherwise been in a position to do without this announcement?
So, Dairyland, it is a wonderful opportunity for them and their cooperative members who are in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa, because over the next 10 years, the investment means that their energy cost, their electric cost is going to will be 47% lower than what it otherwise would have been without these investments being made. And it's, as President Biden said in Westby last week, this is as transformative and the largest investment in rural electrification through the cooperatives since the 1930s, when President Roosevelt passed the REA, the Rural Electrification Act. And I'm a history geek, and I remember talking to my grandma about, because I was writing a history paper in a contest, about what her life was like, and hearing that story about what their life was like, they received electricity out at their farm and then afterwards. And now we have this chance to make this type of same investment, but in clean, renewable energy, which is going to help reduce people's electric costs. It's better for the environment. It's removing the equivalent of 10 million gas-powered vehicles off the roads. That's how much pollution will be prevented by this type of investment. Plus, it's going to create over 4,500 permanent jobs throughout the United States, as well as more than 16,000 temporary jobs that are created during the construction of these projects, both here in Wisconsin and for the other selectees across the country.
Yeah, such amazing job growth. And this is just one aspect of what rural development does. And I've got time to ask you about one more here, and it's about the Rural Partners Network, which, if I'm not mistaken, was more or less created by the Biden-Harris administration. The Harris campaign has talked about expanding it. Project 2025 talks about eliminating it entirely. Can you tell me from a state director standpoint about the Rural Partners Network and what it is doing, what it has done for Wisconsin, what it could do in the future?
Yeah, so Rural Partners Network is a partnership between the Biden-Harris White House. It's being co-led out of the office of one of their offices there, and the Office of Policy Council, and then the USDA, specifically rural development. And for an example, the Northwestern Community Network, which is seven counties, including Eau Claire County on the northwestern side of the state, they're one network. And they have decided that outdoor recreation is one of the priority items for the community network. We were there just probably about a month or so ago with Undersecretary for Rural Development, Dr. Basil Gooden, to announce a $70,000 rural business development grant to allow the two of the regional plan commissions to be able to work together to put the basic structure of what that plan would look like for outdoor rec. And we also had a representative from the National Park Service who is going to be coming in and for the next 2 years, providing technical assistance to that group. And so that's what we've been doing with our five community networks across the state, is helping to provide technical assistance and link them with federal and state resources that really make a difference in them achieving the priorities that they want.
And that's what I was going to say, is it's all about bringing people together, connecting people to resources. It's one thing to put resources in a plan and a budget, but if local communities and groups can't find those resources, then they don't do any good. And that's where the folks at Rural Development and others help with that. Julie Lassa, my old state Senate colleague, it's so good to hear from you again. We'll talk more about this in depth another time. But you, again, congratulations on a great presidential visit, and you have a great day.
Thanks, you too, Pat. And hopefully no more computer issues for either of us.
Hope not. Terry Bell's up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
The first highly anticipated debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump is Tuesday night, September 10th.
Listen here as the presidential candidates address issues important to you.
It's not sustainable. It's not affordable by any country.
I know what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against something. We're fighting for.
Special coverage with detailed insights starts at 7:30 p.m.
Then listen to the ABC presidential debate live at 8, Tuesday, September 10th on your local civic media radio station. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It's a Monday morning. This is Up North News Radio, September 9th, the date. But the more important thing is that it is Monday, because not only do we have technical issues with a friend, it's always when you book a friend, and sometimes they just, that's the day that they have a computer issue or something. And now we're waiting on Civic Media News Director Terry Bell to come join us as well and talk about three things that you need to know to start the week. So, Greg, if it wasn't official already, happy Monday.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to computer class.
So here we are awaiting word from Terry about three things that you need. And wouldn't it be funny if, again, it's if it turned out to be a computer issue there? I'm just looking to see if he had sent a note here. No, he did not. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to steal his thunder over here and find. Here it is. Thing number one,
yeah,
from Terry.
Yeah.
Terry says the quiet part out loud. After weeks of denying knowing much about Project 2025, Trump in Mosini Saturday proposes eliminating the Department of Education.
Huh.
Which, yeah, I know. Do you have a sec to find that that bite where he suggests Ron Johnson might be the best state superintendent for Wisconsin schools?
Oh, I can absolutely get that one right in this moment. Right, this day, Pat.
It was something for these past couple of weeks as more people were learning about Project 2025 and saying, he's saying, what is that? I know nothing about that. Never mind that it was written by dozens of people who worked in my administration. I know nothing. Now he's finally just tearing the mask off and going, of course I know all about this. And yeah, it includes getting rid of the U.S. Department of Education. So that would be enough. But here's what he told the audience in Mosini, what would happen to schools in Wisconsin.
And you know what we're doing here? I say it all the time. I'm dying to get back to do this. We will ultimately eliminate the federal Department of Education and send education back to Wisconsin and back to the states. We'll send it back to the states so that Ron Johnson can run it, okay? We'll send it back here.
Wait for it, Ann. Who else?
Mr. Tiffany, we'll get to our congressman.
Oh,
Tiffany,
sure. Tom Tiffany, too. That would be. Can you imagine what science class would be like with those two, with Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany?
Let me tell you why 9/11 was an inside job. Welcome to science class, everybody.
I mean, you'd have Tom Tiffany teaching the science classes about, you know, the way to protect our natural resources is to drill, baby, drill.
Yeah.
You know, and then Ron Johnson would tell everybody to, I don't know, inject bleach or, you know, take some horse dewormer paste. Because, again, the science tells him that would be the right way to go. That's who Donald Trump wants to put in charge of schools in Wisconsin. So keep that in mind, folks.
I don't like it when Donald Trump says the word Wisconsin, let alone the idea of making Ron Johnson the department of how about the educational czar? How about that? We'll call him that.
Well, czar would be right, you know, fitting in with that authoritarianism. The second note that was going to come from Terry was there's apparently this big presidential debate tomorrow night. And yes, and Civic Media will have that coverage starting at 7:30. And then, of course, somebody will be staying up well past his bedtime to get a few sound bites and notes and share them with you all first thing Wednesday morning, starting at 6 a.m. And I guess, Greg, what we don't know, of course, what the headline is going to be coming out of this. We don't know if it's going to be a real actual policy difference, if it's going to be Trump melting down and using, terribly insulting language. Will it be the moderators for ABC actually doing some fact checking? Spoiler alert. No, I don't think they're going to do that. But Terry Bell's with us now. Terry, Matt, crystal ball time, crystal ball. Yeah, what's going to be the headline coming out of the debate? Is it going to be substantive or is it going to be about style and, you know.
It will be about whatever takeaway moment it is, about some thing somebody said that maybe not necessarily position on an issue. But, I think like a lot of these debates, it's really not about, you know, who beat who on a substantive point, but about, you know, who
zingers
said the zingers. Yeah. All about the zingers, the moments.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
And it shouldn't be, but this is the kind of pop culture, you know, that we're looking for. We're looking for those kind of, viral moments.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that we can acknowledge that that's a part of it, but then get back to what is it about what they said that actually indicates they're going to do something for you. And so we talked about that a minute ago with the first thing on the list. We talked about eliminating the Department of Education. We've gone through that quite a bit. So I want to jump right to the third thing on your list because we haven't given this any attention yet. And that would be the dozens of people that have already been sickened because of a salmonella outbreak linked to a Wisconsin egg farm.
Yeah, 42 people in Wisconsin, 9 states, 65 in all. And yeah, this outbreak is linked to Wisconsin. Authorities are asking people if you've purchased Amilo's poultry farms or Tony's fresh market eggs, throw them out, take them back to the store, but please do not cook them or eat them.
Now, this is not as direct as the other recent outbreak involving meats from Boar's Head. But again, it does underscore the importance of food safety, food inspections, and so that when you hear a politician talking about deregulation and red tape, it's not about how many forms you're filling out. It is literally about the health and welfare of food and other products. And Terry, you and I have done enough stories about food poisoning and unsafe products to know these are not areas where you should be taking shortcuts.
No, taxes are the price we pay for living in a country where it is, you know, safe to eat the food, drink the water, breathe the air, fly, drive. That's what these things are all about. And that's why we have protections.
Exactly. So he will continue to follow that story with us. And of course, the presidential debate, you and Todd Alba kick things off at 7:30 tomorrow night. It's another late night for you, but we appreciate the work that you're doing, Terry. Thank you so much.
I know what I signed up for. Sure thing.
Yes, you did. All right. Have a great day. Then Matt and Air on Air.
Yes.
There will actually be a Matt and Air on air today.
There will be a Matt and Air, and she will be on air, everyone.
All right. And she will no doubt be very thankful for your, was it two weeks, right, that you filled in for her?
Yeah, about 2 weeks, yeah.
That's amazing. So thank you for doing that. We'll see you at 10 o'clock this morning and again, 6 a.m. tomorrow. My thanks to today's guests, Julie Lassa, Kristen Lyerly, and Selena Heller. And thanks to all of you for being here as well. We greatly appreciate it. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Again, you can find Up North News at upnorthnewswi.com. And you can follow me on social media. Look for Pat Kreitlow on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, and Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook. Have a wonderful Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome former State Senate Majority Leader Democrat Tim Cullen to the program to talk about his new book and great foundation helping Wisconsinites. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.